your different needs, God will surprise you. In fact, he has surprised you. You only need to begin to check to see that he has done some things. In the name of Jesus, praise the Lord. I say, praise the Lord. No, but it's true. You need to check your account. I don't know whether it's healing. I don't know whether it's a physical need. I don't know whether it's finances. You need to check your account. Is it divine protection? Provision? Oh, favor? Check your account. Oh, I feel the fire. I say, check your account. Oh, I still feel the fire. I say, favor? Check your account. Oh, glory. Is it wisdom? Check your account. Is it peace in your marriage? Check your account. Glory be to God in the highest. Joy of the Holy Ghost? Check your account. Glory be to God in the highest. The problem is that we are all so busy and worrying over things, we don't even check our accounts anymore. We come and say, God, do it. Remember it happened in the book of Acts? They were praying that God should deliver Peter. God deliver Peter, and they were praying, which we need to do. God answered that prayer that they were praying. But long after God had answered, they were still praying. They were still asking God to do it. They were still begging and begging and begging. Peter was released physically, and he was knocking on the door. They were still saying, God, please free Peter. Peter. Tell the neighbor, say, check your account. Yeah. We're giving praise. Shall I share just for 10 minutes and then or two parts of the scripture? First is Matthew 11, I believe. Yeah, Matthew 11. Let me read the NIT. Verse 12. And from the time John the Baptist began preaching until now, the kingdom of heaven has been forcefully advancing, and violent people, well, this version says attacking it, are taking it. For before John came, all the prophets and the law of Moses looked forward to this present time. And if you are willing to accept what I say, he is the Elijah, the one the prophet said will come. Now, Jesus was talking about himself. That you see, John the Baptist did the Lord. He announced an era. The era is here. His era. Praise God. But what I want to take from there is the kingdom of God suffers what? Come on, talk to me. Suffers what? And who takes it? How do they take it? Glory be to God in the highest. Now hear the commentary of Jakeford. Jesus asserts the violence of the kingdom. The unique grammatical construction of the text does not make it clear if the kingdom of God is the victim of violence, or if, as the kingdom advances in victory, it does so through violent spiritual conflicts and warfare, which I believe the latter. But the context does. I hope you're listening. Jesus' references to the non-religious style of John and the confrontative, miraculous ministry of Elijah teach that the kingdom of God makes its penetration, somebody, are you here? By a kind of violent entry opposing the human status quo. That's why we talk of signs and wonders and miracles. It transcends the softness of staid religious formalism and exceeds the pretension of child's play. It refuses to dance to the music of society's expectation that religious community provide either entertainment, we play the flute, or dead traditionalism, we mourn. Jesus defines the violence of his kingdom's expansion by defining the sword and fire he has brought as different from the battle technique of political or military warfare. The upheaval caused by the kingdom of God is not caused by the political provocation or armed advance. It is the result of God's order, shaking relationships, households, cities, and nations by the entry of the Holy Spirit's power working in people. And that's why it does not matter how feeble you may look. The truth is you just have to know who you are and the reality of the kingdom that you operate within. And of course, the simplicity of the word brought so much grace and unction. It's amazing that, let me tell somebody quickly, after today, you won't need to be walking and looking over your shoulder. In the name of Jesus. It says to remind you, fear not. I am with you. Do not be dismayed. I am your God. Hallelujah. He says, I will do what? I will help you. Yes, I will not. I will strengthen you. And I will uphold you by the right hand of my righteousness. So you don't need to be walking and looking back anymore. Walk confidently. Glory, I feel the fire. That was exactly what he established crossing the Red Sea. Don't mind them. Keep walking. Leave your back to me. I have your back. Keep looking unto Jesus. And let's see whether as you look unto Jesus, he does not take care of your back, your front, your side. Your all things consist in. So when Jesus is looking at you, it's a surround effect. In fact, it's more than surrounding effect, encapsulating effect. From today, I say you won't walk. No, you will walk confidently in the name of Jesus. Let me go back to what I was saying. What was I saying? I've said too many things in a short time. I have so many branches, so I want to go to the main branch. No matter how feeble you may seem, you are a keg of power. You are a dynamite waiting to explode. And they know. Because of what you are made of, what is it? You are of the kingdom of God. You carry an extra that they don't have. You say, what is it? The Holy Ghost dwells inside of you. And so when he comes, he shakes things. And everything that has no kingdom foundation is brought down. And those with kingdom foundations stand. And that's why you see the seemingly feeble going strong. And that's why we talk of strength in the kingdom. Strength. Strength. It says, I will strengthen you. That's why we talk of being strengthened with might in the inner man by the Holy Spirit. That's what makes the difference. And so the violent takes it by force. I want you to understand that. Humility does not mean, hello, stupidity. You know what is stupidity? When what God has made your right is forfeited on the ground of fear, accusation of the devil, laziness, disobedience, that is stupidity. So the fact that you are humble does not mean that you are stupid. In the kingdom, the violent, as described here, is recognized. Another version will say the bold. So God is not raising whims and reeds. No. Even the weakest and the oldest and the youngest crossing the Red Sea were terrors to the Egyptians. Because the one that went before them stood behind them. He was ahead and yet behind. And whilst he was blessing, he was destroying. I say, you won't have to be looking over your shoulder again. In the name of Jesus, you will not have to be looking over your shoulder again. He was a succor and a blessing to the advancing army of Israel. And he was a terror and destruction to the wicked forces of the devil trying to bring them down. They could not move. They were freezing with cold until they were consumed with the water. I like the way that bookie lady sang it. Said the same path that the children, covenant children, walked through and miracles all the way was the same path that their enemies walked through and destruction all the way. The path that you walk that bring blessings when your enemy will try to bring destruction. Amen. I mean, you don't have to say amen. That's violence. I say it and so amen. Because the enemy of your soul is the devil. And everything related to him. You won't have to do that. But the kingdom of God suffers violence. It takes the bold and the courageous, the decisive. Anywhere you see miracles in the Bible, they are bold about it. Timidity is the tool of the devil. Fear is the tool of the devil. And that's why in the book of Acts, you pray, Father, grant unto your servants boldness to speak your word. And miracles happened. And what followed that was great grace. Sorry, great power. And great grace was upon them. But they prayed for boldness. So my second scripture, Hebrews chapter 4. I think verse, is it 10? I'll confirm quickly. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. Come boldly to the throne of grace. I think it's 16. Hello? If you take it from 13, can somebody read quickly? Or from that beginning of that segment?
Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need.
In what time? In what time? Where do you go? Come and help me. Where do you go? In what time? In what time? Where do you go? Where do you go? How do you approach it? How do you approach it? So if you are not bold, your needs may not be met. It's not that God has not done it, he's done it, but see, it takes boldness to approach, to get what you want. This is the Bible. Those who are testifying don't have 10 heads. Given that God is sovereign, no, he has time for everybody, but his love is towards everybody. He's no partial God. How come them? Because they have come to realize that if God doesn't do it in this aspect of my life, forget it. And so they're always bold towards it. They are daring. But you are too humble, in quotes. That's not humility. And so when you go, the devil shoves and shoves you aside. And you cry a bit and say, I'm a gentleman. No, your gentleness is not towards the devil. It's not. The food is prepared, the table is laid, and it is for you. But there are forces that are making sure you don't get there. You need to be bold. Let us therefore come how? Seeing then, therefore, that we have we have such a great high priest that is not on top of the feelings of our infirmities. Let us then what? Come what? So that's the table. Come how? Come how? Come how? To do what? To do what? I can hear you. even for where you have your shortcomings, and the devil is trying to tell you lies, and he's accusing you and accusing you and say you are useless, you can't come, you need boldness. I said, devil, if I can't go, is it with you that I'll be liberated? Leave me alone. And the mercy of God is saying, now why did you do that? You see how difficult it is to come back? Don't go back there. And we cleanse you from all unrighteousness. God will not pretend with you that you are not wrong. He will show you where you're wrong. You know why it was difficult to get to him? And if it's laziness, say, God, deliver me from this laziness. Boldness to obtain what? Mercy. And find what? I can't hear you. I can't. I know many people shout here, but I heard your voice first. Come. Yes. Do you know that His grace you need? I know His grace I need. You know His grace you need. Shake my hand in the name of Jesus. Father, let this grace multiply for him in every area. In the name of Jesus. His grace you need. Grace is charisma. It is the power of God. The effective power of God that brings about results. When we talk of grace in this light, we are talking of the power for exploits. When they will look at you and assess you and say, he's a non-starter. But watch. Like we hear Zion and Alabi, because they have no strength financially, didn't they? He said, I will what? I will strength. I will give you what? I will give you power where you have no strength. They won't know how you are making it. But you know. Boldness. Boldness. All through Paul's life and ministry, he prayed for boldness. 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 And when he asked for prayer, he said, please pray for me that God will grant me that with all boldness I may speak. He prayed for boldness for himself, prayed for boldness for all his hearers, and asked people to pray for him for boldness. No wonder it was such an astounding success. Are you coming boldly to the throne of grace today? This morning, in the name of Jesus, every condemnation, every fear, every sickness, glory be to God in the highest. Oh, yes.